All right. Well, today we are in the second week of a series called Unleash, and we're talking about the incredible way that God loves people. And because of that, how Jesus wants to unleash not only the message of his love, but the reality of his love into the lives of every single person all throughout the world. But strangely enough, the way God chooses to do it isn't just to zap us into loving him. In fact, if you've ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty, how many of you have seen that movie, Bruce Almighty? Yeah, you know, there's some parts that are like, eh, that's not really biblical. But just go with this truth. There's this moment where Bruce is kind of in the, you know, kind of like standing. He's basically has become God. He's given the authority to be God, you know, again. Not biblical, but go with it, right? And there's this moment where he's kind of messed up with his wife, and he's like, all right, I'm God. I've got the power to do stuff. And so he's like, love me. And he's trying to get her to love him, right? And he tries to do all these things, and he's got power to like manipulate all sorts of things and move all sorts of things and say yes and no to certain prayer requests. But he's like, love me, love me. And then the real God, you know, Morgan Freeman in this movie comes in and is like, yeah, you can't do that. It's like, that's the one thing, you know, the one thing God has given us all free will. And he pursues us. He invites us. He tries to show us his love. But the way, in order to encounter his love, God doesn't just snap a finger and make us love him. We'd be like puppets, you know. Instead, God invites us. And he invites us out of our own free will in order to either step away from him sadly or to step across the line and to begin following and loving him back. And so the way God chooses to demonstrate that love, strange enough, isn't to snap a finger or to do some command from on high, but God chooses to empower people who have already encountered his grace working in their story. That's his followers. That's us. And he unleashes us into the world in order to help people to carry his message of his love into the world. And so if you think about this, God has always been in the sending business. You maybe have heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world, all that. Here's kind of the cool thing. God sent his only one and only son into the world in order to redeem the world. But God is still in the sending business. In fact, the way God chooses to get his message out is God is still sending his sons and his daughters into the world in order to, and it's really all of us who have been adopted into faith through the person and the work of Jesus. And he unleashes us into the world to help other people to experience and to receive his love and grace in their life as well. And so the bottom line for this whole series, we got a couple bottom lines, but this is for the whole series. The bottom line for the series is this. Jesus wants to unleash us to be the church for the world around us. Jesus wants to unleash us to be the church for the world around us. So we're talking about how to do that, what that looks like. And last week, we focused on our spheres of influence. That every single person has a sphere of influence that God has given you. And these are people that are your friends and your family, your coworkers and your classmates. And every single person God has put into your life is there for a reason. In fact, once you encounter Jesus' grace, Jesus wants us to have this culture of invitation, as we talked about last week, where we invite, where we help people to encounter in our spheres of influence who Jesus is. So before we move any further, today I want to talk with you about the why behind all of this in the most compelling way that I possibly can with God's grace, you know, and all this stuff. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt like you were desperate for God? Have you ever encountered a place where you felt like you were desperate for God? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Most of us have times like this where at least a little bit we realize, man, I guess we need God here. But many times it comes in moments of great loss. Maybe you've been through a traumatic situation where all of a sudden there's some scarcity or something happened and something that's over your head and you realize, oh my goodness, like I can't do this with my own power, with my own strength. I need the Lord. But for many of us, it takes a little bit longer to realize this, but so many times maybe you've been in a situation where you've been running and running and running and running in your life. You've been kind of doing things with your own strength. And as you're running, trying to lead your family and you know, just do life on your own, you soon find out that as you try to run after life, trying to find it, you end up in the end you end up kind of burned out and feeling completely empty. In fact, it's kind of like this guy right here, you know, this picture of this guy who is crawling through a desert. You get a picture, he's been on this hike or something, and he's been walking, and he's given it all his best shot, and he's fallen down, and there's nothing left he has to give. He's empty, he's burned out, he's tapped out, and he's just reaching out for this water that can not only quench his thirst, but that can help him in his life. And so this is kind of how so many times we are in our lives. And it's one of those things where maybe you look at that and you're like, man, that is me right now. I am that right now, and I need God to fill me once again. But today we're going to be looking at this story in the New Testament. It's going to be in Acts chapter 3, the story of a man who realized, not at first, but he realized through the disciples' work of how desperately he was to receive what only God could give him, how desperate he was for God to work in his life. And again, it's in Acts chapter 3, so if you have your Bibles or smartphones or whatever's out there, you can go ahead and try to find it. If you don't have a Bible, because you don't own a Bible, we would love to give one to you today. We give Bibles to, see, we, kids get them, you know, about every year we do that. But adults get them every Sunday at our guest services table. So feel free to pick it up. You're not stealing from church. Let that be our gift to you. So anyway, the words are going to be on the screen as well. But let me kind of set the context for you so we understand where we are. Acts chapter 3. Jesus has already, he died on the cross, what we just sang about. He's been raised from the grave on Easter Sunday. He spent about 40 days on this earth after that, revealing and showing himself to the disciples and to other people. Many people saw him and witnessed him, and it was like not really a debated thing. Everybody's like, yeah, we saw Jesus. He was raised from the dead. And then he ascends into heaven. He gives the disciples, anyone who's a follower of Jesus, these instructions, this kind of the kind of our marching orders. And he says in Matthew chapter 28, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. And he tells them to do this, and he says, I'm going to go with you. And then in Acts chapter 1, the Jesus actually repeats these words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I want you to check out how he repeats this mission in a different way. Here's what he says. He says, but you will receive power. Say power. That's important. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where they were. In all Judea and Samaria, that's the region, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, you're going to be my witnesses not only here, not only there, but every single place. But I want you to notice this about this scripture. It says you'll receive power. The power is given so that we can be his witnesses. Isn't that a cool thing? Now, we're given power for other the power of God for other things, but so that you can be his witnesses in the world. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, the Lord sends the Holy Spirit into the lives of every single believer. And you have to understand, if you've ever gone to see a Broadway show, I remember going to this Broadway show. We went to see The Lion King. And I remember the beginning of before you're getting ready to watch all the show, somebody comes out and says, in your program, we have a few corrections. This part tonight is going to be played by an understudy. And you're like, oh man, like we paid all this money. It was like $100, you know, per ticket, you know, and you end up watching an understudy. I want you to know that when God sent the Holy Spirit, it wasn't some cheap understudy. God wasn't sending us some lesser understudy for God. The Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God that really is available for every single person. And so that truth that we sang about, that death was arrested, the same power that had the ability to get Jesus out of that grave on Easter, the Holy Spirit is God, the power and the fullness of God being sent. And it's this truth that anybody who's a follower of Jesus, now that power resides in us. Crazy. And so here's the thing. It's really the power and presence of God. And so the people all throughout in the beginning of the book of Acts, they start to witness Jesus in their lives. They start to look around and realize, wow, God is really alive. God is active. I feel him in my life. I see him. And so we turn to Acts chapter 3. Here's how the story begins. It says this, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, we'll stop right there. Now, Peter and John, these are Jesus' disciples, some of his closest friends. They come on a scene that's very similar to what we might encounter, especially if you've gone to a Braves game. You know, you won't go down to Turner Field anymore, at least looking for the Braves, right? Sorry. But if you've ever been to a Braves game or something like that, this is a scene we're all used to. There's a man who is in need. You know, we encounter people who appear to be in need on the streets, oftentimes in Atlanta, maybe even beyond that. And it's one of those things where oftentimes they're asking for some kind of money, for some kind of help, food, provision. And as followers of Jesus, carrying the light of Jesus, man, it's hard. It's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? You know, it's like you want to help them, but you don't want to enable. And it's this tough thing, just praying through that. I said, God, what am I supposed to do here? You know? And here's kind of the thing. This man in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, was clearly a man in need. I mean, it was somebody that everybody knew. You know, you like saw the same sad song, the same sad story every single day, because he'd been unable to walk since birth. And this guy, just think about it. From birth, he was almost like he was trapped in his own condition. Poor guy. And every single day, think about this as a guy, like somebody had to physically pick him up and carry him to that same place where he went begging every day. Probably looking at the very same people, asking them, will you help me? Will you provide for me in some kind of way? I mean, think about how desperate he must have been. I mean, think about how discouraged and empty he probably felt. And the truth is, though, I really believe that more times than not, we encounter people all the time who are just like that guy. And they may not be begging on the streets corners. They may not be, asking crippled and asking for money, but we encounter people all the time, all around us, who are searching for something to fill the dead or the empty places in their life. And we may not really realize that, and they may not realize that, but people are searching for life. And so many of us, and so many people in our spheres of influence, we see it, are just burned out. Burned out in life, you know, tired, needing help in their marriage, needing help in their, you know, family and their finances. There's so many people in this area who are struggling with anxiety. There's so many people who are worried. There's so many people who are looking for purpose and looking for life. But what we almost always miss is that the root of all of this need is actually a deeper spiritual need that only Jesus can fill in us. In fact, the truth is there's a spiritual need inside of every single person that only Jesus can fill. And our souls will constantly be restless until we find our hope in him. And we oftentimes, though, when we see people in need or when we try to fix something in our life, we usually take it just to the earthly plane. You know, what we oftentimes do is we just keep praying or we keep helping people at just the surface level, at the earthly level. You need some food, I'll give you some food. That's a good thing, right? You need this, I'll give you this. And we meet people's needs on the surface, all the surface stuff. And it's good. But what happens so many times, if something doesn't change spiritually, if God doesn't do something in the inside of us, then we're still just like this guy, stuck in that same condition as we were before. Our needs are met, but we have to keep coming back to the well, coming back for more. And so the thing is everybody needs a power and a connection in life that's bigger than them. And so Jesus doesn't want to just be Lord of our Sundays. Jesus doesn't want to be just Lord of our spiritual or our religious life. And we live in a way where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we got our spiritual life and then we got the rest of our life. See, Jesus came when it says, hey, come follow me. Jesus wants to be Lord of every single area of our life. He wants to be the center of it all. And so when you invite Jesus to become, when Jesus says, come follow me, and you step across the line in faith, that's not just a spiritual decision. It means that you begin to follow Jesus in every aspect of your life. And when you do, Jesus breathes life, his ruah, the Spirit of God, into all other areas. You come alive. And so before we say anything more in this series about sharing with people about Jesus, we all have to get to the point where we realize this big truth is that we all need Jesus all the time. Amen. We all need Jesus all the time. And this is not just something for them, it's something for me. See, when we realize that in the gut of our soul, it changes the motivation for why we're to go out and to share with all the world. See, yes, we need to enter into faith with Jesus, but I'm talking about something more for all of us. Is that every single day, all of us desperately need to depend on Jesus, who is our true and living vine, every day. And here's kind of a confession for me. I I've gotten to points in my life. I am a go-getter, you know? You don't plant a church without being a go-getter, right? I'm competitive. You know, a little common confession, right? We're going to have some counseling. You know, y'all pray for me. I'm Andy, and I'm competitive. But anyway, it's one of those things where guys, maybe you can relate to this. I don't really like other people helping me sometimes, you know? Like, I'm kind of like, I'll fix this. Or like, you know, we do this in marriage so many times, guys. It's like your wife tells you, you know, a problem, and you're like, I know the answer. Like, I know how to fix this right now. Like, just get some, you know, whatever it is. And we go to fixing it, you know. That's kind of like, this, you know, it's our DNA. And so for me, this confession, can we be honest today? And so for me, I have to tell you, there's so many times in my life where I have tried to lead my family. I've tried to walk forward and run forward, push forward in life. And I've even tried to do ministry sometimes, relying on just human effort and more strategy. In the name of Jesus, I push forward with my effort, right? I mean, can we be honest? This is like the human thing. In fact, this is the two greatest sins in the Bible. One of my seminary professors says the number one sin in the Bible is self-reliance. Self-reliance, trying to do it on your own. The second one, he says, is oppressing poor people. You know, there's all this stuff about the poor and the widow and the orphan, all this stuff, and the foreigner in our land. But here's the thing. We all need Jesus. And for me, every time in life when I've tried to do stuff with my own effort, when I've tried to, you know, just muster up more strategy, you know, just trying to do things in life and ministry with my own power, with my own abilities, when I get disconnected from the true and living vine, Jesus, I'm like a branch that's been cut off from its source, right? I've found myself so many times, like, you know, getting burned out, feeling tapped out, you know, feeling fruitless, not seeing the fruit that I want to see in my life and family and all sorts of things. And I've even felt so many times like, man, I feel like I'm empty right now. When you get cut off from Jesus, man, that's the source. And one of the things that God has done is he allows you to get to places like that in your life, or maybe you've been following Jesus for years and you get to a place where it's like, I have Jesus, but I feel empty. And those are moments where Jesus says, that's right. It turns out, you know, I was joking with one of my pastor friends. I was saying, hey, it turns out I still need Jesus, right? As it turns out, I still need his grace working in my life, not to just forgive me, but to empower me, you know? And so it's one of those things where I have to tell you that just like you, you know, maybe there's people in here that are like, yep, that's me. I feel empty. I feel tired. I feel burned out. I feel anxious about everything that's going on. When you get connected to Jesus, when you stay connected to your living vine, he pours into you. It's not that all your problems get fixed, but that's your source. And so I have to tell you, that just like you, that I have to keep going back to the vine and connection with Jesus, and I still need Jesus. So I want you to notice in Acts chapter 3 that this beggar, this invalid beggar, he only wanted to be supported on the earthly level. He only wanted to be supported in the same condition as he was in before. Oh, can you just give me some money? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Help me right here, because he didn't know there was anything else. He didn't realize that God wanted to actually come into his life and to completely change his condition. And so here's how Peter responds in verse 6. Here's what it says. It says, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Imagine the scene. Everybody's probably like, what just happened? It says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is what happens when Jesus jumps into your life. And it may not be that, oh, your ailment is healed and all this stuff, but this is what happens. This guy who was empty, who was, you know, essentially stuck in his condition, was freed. And so here's the kind of the thing. I don't want you to miss this. It's easy to watch this and try to figure out about the miracle and how did he do it. And don't get distracted by the miracle. Here's what I think God wants to show us. It wasn't Peter who healed him. It was the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working through Peter. In fact, Peter realizes everybody's kind of like watching him like, are you a superhero? You know, what is up with, like, wow, let's get close to Peter. Here's what Peter says, verse 12. He says, when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk? It's like, quit staring at us. Like, it wasn't me. We didn't just put on a superhero cape. We are filled with God. And all we did is offer you more of Jesus. And so here's the thing. None of us in our life have what people need. None of us have what people need in and of ourselves. And we look around and I can't meet somebody's needs. You know, it's one of those things like people don't need more of us. People don't need more human power and human ingenuity. People don't need more do-gooders that make them feel good, but that leave them in the same condition that they were in before. Now, it's good to do good. But what people, the thing is, we what we have to offer by ourselves is really not what people need. It's empty. But what we do have, we give people. What we do have is Jesus's message. What we do have is Jesus's love. And what we do have is we can point people to a power source that when they get connected to Jesus, Jesus can transform their lives. And that's good news. And so as we talk about unleashing God's love into the world, it all starts with this reality, is that God needs to do something in our lives. And so the world doesn't need another empty, human-powered witness. Let me tell you about Jesus, you know? The Lord doesn't need another empty, human-powered, the world doesn't need another empty, human-powered witness. Because without Jesus, it's like imagine buying this awesome flat-screen TV. I know this is where guys are like, yeah, now you're talking, you know. That's like kind of like the thing in premarital counseling. It's always the guy that wants the flat screen TV and stuff. But anyway, but imagine buying this incredible flat screen TV. It's got the UHD. It's got everything you'd always want. And you mount it on the, you know, above your fireplace. And it's kind of like, ugh, you know, awesome, you know. It's like perfect for a man cave. And then all of a sudden, it's like all the features. And then you never actually plug it in. That's what it's like trying to do life and to do ministry without Jesus. And so here's the thing. It's one of those things that our witness and our efforts are useless if we're not connected with Jesus, because you can't pour out what's not already filled up in you. It all starts with our relationship with God. So here's the bottom line for today, and it's this. I want to encourage you to be filled with God so that you can be a Spirit-filled witness. Be filled with God so you can be a Spirit-filled witness. Now, if you want to make an impact, it means you need to be filled up with more than just you. Let Jesus be your source and let him fill your life. And the thing that I've learned, you know this, you've seen people like this. You know, there's certain people that just like, they just radiate Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? There's certain people in your life that they're just so filled with Jesus. They've like been abiding in him so much that like you just get around them and you like want to become more like Jesus. Like, you feel like you're closer to Jesus. Our new bishop is like that. We were hearing her talk, and she was saying some great things, but I was just watching her. I was a pastor. I'm, like, watching her and just listening to her share about Jesus and about the church and ministry. And I just remember thinking, like, she's filled up so much with Jesus that it just made me want to be more like Jesus. I was like, man, I just want to be closer to you so I can get closer to him, you know? I want to be that kind of person, and I hope you do, too. Because the thing, let me ask you this question. How in your life can you practically carve out some time? Carve out some time each day to read some scripture, to talk to God in prayer, and to just intentionally allow God to just pour into you, because he's your source. And this isn't like, oh, I didn't do my devotion today. You know, it's like, you know, you get a slap on the wrist. It's not like a feel bad kind of thing. What it is an invitation to connect with your source. And so for, you know, it's one of those things where not just something to check off the list, but it's an opportunity to connect with Jesus. And so I love this invalid beggar. He gets his life changed, and he did three things that are really important that all of us need to do as well. The first thing he did is he attached himself to the apostles and he pursued the Lord. He surrounded himself. What does the scripture say? It says he entered the temple with them. You know, he got his life changed and he didn't do life alone. He attached himself with other people who could help him in his journey, and they go into the temple and they start pursuing God. Here's the second thing he did. He immediately started to use what God had given him. He immediately started to use what God had done in him. I mean, what did it say? He left walking and leaping around. He started using what God had done in his life. And so here's the third thing. He began to praise and to worship God out of this gratitude for what God had done. And it wasn't because Peter was so good. It was because Peter was filled with Jesus, and he pointed this man to Jesus who could fill and transform his life. See, the truth is God wants us to have that same tenacity, that same passion to realize that what people need most is not more of us. What people need most is for me to offer more of Jesus to people. They need Jesus. In fact, I've been watching the Coast Guard recently, watching these YouTube videos, which you can do for hours, right? I've been watching these Coast Guard videos of, like, rescue. And, man, it's awesome what they do. I watched this one video where there was this one person who was, there's a boat that kind of crashed. And just think about this. A boat's crashed, and all of a sudden it sinks, and somebody's in the middle of the ocean. And I'm watching this video, right, of like all these rescues. And the people are swimming, and the waves are starting to come, over top of them. And they're in the middle of the ocean. They're just paddling and paddling. And they start to get tired. And for me, I start to get emotional, like, watching it. Because I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, somebody get there. Like, somebody go get them. Somebody go rescue them. And thankfully, the Coast Guard, the chopper said, get down and get in the chopper. You know, the Coast Guard starts coming. And the Coast Guard... they go right over top of this person. But I'm watching this like they don't have much time. You got to get in the water. You got to get them. And they do something crazy. Somebody jumps out of the chopper and into the water. And one of the clips I watched, it was like in Alaska. And I'm like, ooh, what are you doing, you know? But the Coast Guard, he jumps in. He swims over to the person. They're starting to bob underneath the water. And I'm watching this like, oh, my goodness. You got to get there. You got to hurry. You got to do anything it takes to save them. And when the Coast Guard jumps in the water, what they're not concerned about, what they're not even thinking about is, I wonder how cold the water is. What they're not concerned about is like, you know, like I wonder if the power of the waves are going to be too much for me. They're trained. The Coast Guard isn't worried about how can I rescue somebody in a way that doesn't embarrass that person. Like, I don't want to hurt their story, you know. They're not worried about, rescuing somebody in a way that doesn't step on anybody's toes or offend them. All they're worried about is there's somebody in the water that needs help, and they're about to die, and I've got to save them. And so they jump into the water. And what they're not worried about when they jump into the water is all the different people on their team who had a lot of other things going on. You know, they're probably all sitting around. They had plenty to do back at the station. They're not worried about inconveniencing those people at the Coast Guard team. Their mission is to get into that water as fast as they can and to save somebody, to bring them back home. And this is really a picture of the gospel, because so many people in our spheres of influence, so many people are in situations like that where they feel like they're drowning in life, looking for rescue spiritually or in some kind of way. And what God has charged us with this message is not just a sweet message about Jesus' love. It's a rescue mission. God's on a rescue mission. In fact, here's what Jesus said in the scriptures. He says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. You get this picture of the Coast Guard jumping in the water. And so the mission for us is to do whatever it takes, short of sin, to bring people back into a connection with God. And I think sometimes we don't realize that Jesus is not just another good thing to add to our plate. You know, I've got my family, I've got my, you know, career, I've got my activities, and then I got Jesus. Jesus doesn't want to, I shared this a couple years ago, Jesus doesn't want to be like, you know, in the fanny pack of our life. You know, where we put him away, and then when we need him, we unzip the fanny pack and say, Jesus, I need you again. Jesus wants to be Lord of all, right? And so he's not just another good thing. Another thing, Jesus doesn't want to just be another good influence for your kids and for your family. You know, I hear that a lot in our culture. And thankfully, there's a lot of people at the Fountain church is kind of a new thing. Or maybe you've been disconnected and you came back. And so many times, the reason people start coming back is because, you know what? We had kids, and we wanted my kids to have a good influence and to be around some good people and to hear a little bit about Jesus. And I love how God uses that. Because God can take somebody who's saying, you know what, Jesus is just somebody that's a good influence. And all of a sudden, he can capture their heart, fill their life, and he can set them free to follow him and to serve him in the world. But it's one of those things where Jesus really does have the power to rescue people, who are drowning in their past, who are drowning in the realities of their present, and to bring them home to the Father. And so my big prayer for you and my big prayer for this church is that we would wake up to the reality of what God wants to do in the lives of people around us. How God is on a rescue mission and he invites you, he invites me, he invites the church to be on that mission with him. It's not a soft love, snuggy Jesus kind of thing. Jesus wants a relationship with people and he wants to use you to help people to get connected to him. And so my prayer is that we would become so passionate about what God's passionate about, that we would be on that mission with him. So before we wrap up, let me give you really quick, okay, what do you do with this? Let me give you three really quick things of ways I think you can do this, ways that you can do this. So we're going to offer you more, but three ways you can offer more of Jesus to people. I want to encourage you, number one, start praying for unchurched people in your sphere of influence. Start praying for unchurched people in your sphere of influence. See, prayer opens the door for God to work in their lives. Prayer opens the door. In fact, last week I shared with you that everybody has on average between 8 and 15 unchurched people in their sphere of influence. Praise God. Some of us have way more than that, even better, right? Because here's the thing. Everybody God has placed in your life is there for a reason. And God wants to use you and use your gifts and use your story to help introduce them to Christ. So I want to encourage you to start praying for them. Start praying for their family and their job. Start praying for them, but also start praying for them to experience Jesus. And you can start praying that God would actually use you. God would start to use you and open the door for you to be used so that you can be on that rescue mission with God. For instance, people share with you stuff all the time that's going on in their life. They may say, man, I have this problem going on. And oftentimes we meet that need on the earthly level. We're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I hope it gets better. And that's great. But what would happen if we started to bring that to the heavenly realms? What would happen if we started to say, well, let me lift that up in prayer? And you could pray for them right there. You don't have to. That could get weird. In the office, you have a prayer huddle, and everybody's like, what are you doing? But you could say, you know what? I'm gonna be praying for you, and I want you to keep me updated. Or another thing you can do, you may not even know what's going on. You can go to somebody and say, hey, you've been on my mind recently. I just want to know, how can I be praying for you? And even people that are like, man, I'm not religious. Even people like that, 99% of the time, will be so thankful and blessed that somebody's praying for them. So pray for people in your unchurched people in your sphere of influence. Number two, I want you to look for opportunities to talk about church or talk about faith. Now, this isn't really about church, but church leads to conversations about faith. Let me show you why. I'm coaching baseball right now, and coaching is kind of a loose term. I'm babysitting 4-year-olds as they try to play baseball, right? And I've got a new sphere of influence. I've got new coaches. I got new people that I'm, kids that I'm coaching, new parents that I'm, I'm in relationship with. And as I'm meeting new people, I don't come out of the gate and say, oh, I'm a pastor and nice to meet you. You know, I'm a reverend, whatever. I just get to know people. And over time, we start to get in conversations where here's an example of how it works for you. People often ask me, hey, so what's been going on this weekend? And so a couple weeks ago, I said, well, actually, we did this marriage night, this past weekend at my church, and it was really good. My wife and I really got a lot out of that. And, maybe I'll say, oh, well, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, well, we're playing baseball today, and then tomorrow we're going to church. And oftentimes what somebody else says, oh, where do you go to church? Holy Spirit opening the door, to not just the fountain, but to Jesus. Because what happens is you start saying, oh, well, we go to the fountain, and here's what it's like, and oh, it's been great for my family. And sometimes the conversation gets dropped. But if people keep asking, that's an open invitation to keep saying more. But I was having a conversation with somebody and I said, oh yeah, I'm actually a pastor and here's what we do. And the conversation didn't really go anywhere beyond that. They didn't ask anything. And so I moved on and you let the Holy Spirit continue to work in their life. But I want to encourage you to look for opportunities to talk about church or faith. The third thing, last thing is this. I want to encourage you to invite. Invite people to church and invite people to interact with people in the church. For instance, you can invite people through social media, but the most effective way is a personal face-to-face invitation. Something you could say something like this: hey, we're starting a series this week called blah blah blah, you know, whatever it is. Hopefully not that, but you start a new series, and hey, I love my church. I'd love for you to come with me. In fact, you can come sit with me. That's a way to do that. Or even more fun, you could have a spend the night party. Yes. With your kids, invite some of their kids over to your house. We've done this at the Fountain. And then you say to their parents, hey, we're going to go to church on Sunday. I'd love to bring your kids to church with me if that's okay with you. And the parents are usually like, praise God, take them, you know, free babysitting, right? And then kids walk in almost every Sunday and they encounter Jesus in a real way in our kids' environments and our youth environments. And what usually happens, they come walking back the next Sunday, dragging their unchurched family back to church. This is how we can be witnesses. There's all sorts of ways you can do that, but the truth is God wants to use you right where you are. And so I want to encourage you to be filled up with God, because what people need is not more of us. People need Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this reality, and we thank you so much that you love us so much, that you're always on a mission to seek and to save the lost. And we know that that's our story. That even those of us who already have a relationship with you, that's our story, that we were in that water, we were in that choppy water, going under, bobbing up and down in our life, and Jesus, you came and you rescued us. And God, we thank you for that. But today I just pray for all of us to look into our spheres of influence and to realize what people don't need is just more of us. What they need is more of you. And God, I just pray that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit. You would set us on fire for who you are. You would help us to remain connected to you, our true and living vine. And then when we go into the world, God, we have more than just ourselves to offer. And God, I just pray that as we continue to think about this, how we can be on mission for you, I pray that you would wake us up, open up our eyes to the reality of what you want to do, not only in our life, not only in our spheres of influence, but to the ends of the earth as we invest in people. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.